I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause. My whole life has led to this. Time to test my skills. I know I just can't miss. Gonna show the world. Born to be a winner. Born to be a champion.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon The Series podcast. This week, we've got a special episode for you. We're doing the short Pikachu's Peekaboo and the movie Pokemon Forever. And just a quick reminder, this is an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm your host, Jacob, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin.
Oh no, now I'm first again? I don't have anything prepared.
It's okay, you don't have to.
Okay,
you don't
great.
Have to have anything prepared. Just, how you doing?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so lost. I think I've been transported through time.
Oh, 40 years through time?
Yeah.
God, in 40 years, you'll be like 73.
You know what? Shut your mouth. Move on for me.
Okay, Alex, how are you doing?
God, I feel like I've been sleeping for 40 years. I had such a senior moment last night. I was watching this movie, and I fell asleep. I fell asleep with my laptop right on me.
The movie put you to sleep.
The light was on. I woke up at 5 in the morning like, oh shit. It was not my proudest moment. But.
So there was nothing involved? You like just fell asleep? There wasn't like food or drinks? Or
no, I literally got home at like 11, you know, got cleaned up. And then I was like, okay, I really need to strap in, watch this because I'm not going to have time in the morning. It's a movie. It's not the typical two episodes where I can just speed through. Really made a concerted effort. I was like, okay, I'm gonna sit down and watch this. And then immediately I fell asleep.
It's okay.
I'm an oldster.
So, Jacob, you have a limited availability right now?
Yes. Yeah, so if I'm leaving, not more towards the end of the episode, I have to go to a graduation celebration. It's that time of year where people leave school and sit at home wondering what they're gonna do with their lives. So I gotta go celebrate that.
So we really don't have time to pussyfoot around. We gotta go.
Well, we got a full agenda today with a movie and the short. I will say this. The short was a lot more entertaining than this movie. I did not like this movie.
Oh, wow.
Hot take.
Not a big fan of this movie.
It's a step down for sure.
It is, yeah. That's the worst one we've seen.
I mean, I fell asleep, so I really can't defend myself.
Yeah, I just...
Not this time, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, I think maybe like 10 minutes in, I was like, okay, I'm just going to... Put this on times two, play speed, and...
Oh, no.
But the Pikachu's Peekaboo is the first part we're going to talk about. And I actually like this one. This is actually, in my opinion, the best short we've seen.
Oh, wow.
I found it the most entertaining.
I think I agree.
You agree? Okay,
oh, wow. I'm odd man out.
Austin, you should know exactly the reason why I would think this is entertaining.
You like to play hide and seek?
No.
You are afraid of lawnmowers?
Well, I think everybody should have a healthy fear of a lawnmower, but... It was very Brave Little Toaster, in my opinion.
Oh, Christ almighty. Who wants to summarize?
All right, who's doing a 30-second? I don't even know how we're breaking this down. I always forget when it comes to movie time.
I don't even have the randomizer up. Look at me being prepared.
Okay, I have an embarrassing thing to admit about the short that I thought before. Because I didn't remember this at all for some reason. And I'm almost wonder like if I ever saw it before. I can't remember. It doesn't stick out.
Oh, you
out,
would
but,
have.
I've never
I mean,
seen
I'm
it.
Sure.
Oh, Jacob would not have.
No.
I guess you're right, Austin, but it was such a long time ago when we first started our, like, Pokemon rewatch journey, so it was a void in my head, but, like, I had an embarrassing moment where I did not think... I should have immediately knew, because it's Peekaboo, like, the game, like, the childhood game, but I don't know why I was thinking it was Halloween-related.
Well, I mean, yeah, boo, boo.
You're not alone, Alex. You're not alone, because okay. I thought that as
oh,
well.
Oh, good.
It's a bad title, because Peekaboo is a different thing from... hide and seek. They're playing hide Maybe, and seek.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It should have been called Pikachu, I'll Find You, or something like that.
Ooh.
I like that.
Yeah. Pikachu, Where Are You?
Yeah, or Pikachu, Where Are You? That's a good one, too. That's even better, I think. But Peekaboo implies that, like, I thought it was either going to be a Halloween episode, or they're, like, taking care of Togepi, because Togepi's the baby, and so they're playing, like, Peekaboo.
We don't need more of that.
Yeah, that's what made me think, because that's a thing that they do.
Yeah, play Peekaboo with Togepi to calm it down.
Yeah, this one turned out pretty good, though. So, Alex, you're summarizing. Austin, you're doing the 30-second, Alex. Austin, you're doing the episode, and I'm out.
3, 2, 1, go.
So we're at a mansion for some reason, and there's a Larvitar, a Kecleon, and a Granbull that live here. Larvitar's being, like, a depressing little shit and decides to sabotage their game of hide-and-seek, and kicks a rock into a crazy sentient lawnmower that tries to kill the Pokemon, and they get chased throughout the gardens and the house, and eventually are able to thwart the lawnmower. Everybody gets along. Larvitar's like, okay, I'll join your game, and we all live happily ever after, and Time. The twerps are nowhere to be seen.
We're hanging out at the beach. Our twerp little Pokemon friends, or at least some of them, I wrote down Pikachu, Togepi, Psyduck, Bayleaf, Totodile, Cyndaquil, and Bulbasaur. We're all here hanging out with the new Generation 3 Pokemon because Wailmer makes an appearance.
Oh my god, you're right! I completely didn't even make that connection. Whoopsie.
It's here, it's gone, it's like a volleyball.
Wailmer.
Thanks, Wailmer.
It's okay, like a volleyball. Bye, Wailmer. It's here, it's gone.
Because it's a volleyball whale.
Yeah.
Now, with the Wailmer promotion out of the way, we all break into a mansion, you know, because this is what happens when the twerp humans are nowhere to be found.
The first home we've ever seen foreclosed on in the Pokemon universe. So,
oh, no one lives here? Is that what we think?
Yep. Because no one's there.
There's furniture.
But it's completely deserted, though. Like, people just abandoned it and left. There's no life anywhere.
Well, a Larvitar, Granbull, and what was the other one? Kecleon.
Kecleon.
Thank God Kecleon's still here. They run this joint, and Larvitar has to make sure that all the pebbles are in the right place. So Larvitar is not a fan when Pikachu and his friends come. But Kecleon and Granbull are okay with it because they summon all of their friends that they apparently have, including an Azurill.
A lot of intros here going on. And this is a better Kecleon episode than the one we just watched.
Yes, because in a weird way, this kind of short is all predicated around Kecleon.
It does.
The Pokemon decide in Pokemon speak that I didn't quite translate into English that they're going to play hide and seek, also known as Pikachu's Peekaboo.
Sure.
Yeah, weird.
They throw a stick and Pikachu's it. And all the Pokemon go to hide. And do we all think their little hiding places were cute?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
I love how some try to team up and they try to get the same spot. That was kind of fun. Because that's like, it was basically like what you did as kids. You're like, should we hide together? And you're like, get away from me. I don't want to hide with you.
Yeah, the strategy.
Yeah. We're going to do this together. What are you talking about? No, go away. And then someone takes your spot.
Yeah, Granbull took someone's spot. Yeah. Who was it? I can't remember.
I thought it was Psyduck, maybe, but I couldn't remember.
I got a lot of feelings watching this, because it was like, this is exactly how people would do it, you know?
It's relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you guys like this one so much? It's very much child brain, how it's working, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I kind of really liked the way they animated it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought some of the animation was kind of cute. It's hard to explain it without you visually seeing it, but...
Is it because we're so used to the horrible staticky animation every week that...
Probably.
To see them actually have a budget is like, whoa!
Holy cow!
Probably.
There's actually 10 frames for an arm movement, not just one, you know? It's not like bad stop motion.
It was visually appealing.
I'm going to ask real quick, what was everyone's favorite hiding spot that they all had?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember.
Well, obviously Kecleon had the best.
Well, Kecleon goes invisible.
I know, but he didn't have the stripe, which was weird.
Oh, he didn't have the stripe?
I think he was completely invisible.
Oh, this is like
I didn't see that.
Extreme Kecleon. He can hide a stripe.
Because he hid so well behind the pillar, the stone pillar. Remember that he got forgot about.
I love that punchline. Yeah. The thing ends with Kecleon winning because everyone forgot Kecleon exists.
Yeah, like, they go through, the lawnmower goes through everything, and Kecleon at the end's like, are we still playing?
You know what I mean? Kecleon's the one guy you can't find.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I would say my favorite, barring Kecleon, because he ended up, spoiler alert, winning the game because they got into a mortal peril, which I guess we'll get to that. But my favorite was Totodile because he disguised himself as the fountain in the middle of the, like, the water fountain. And he was, like, underwater, like, shooting the water up.
Yeah, and Pikachu tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Totodile?
Yeah, he, like, stuck his hands down Totodile's mouth, basically.
Oh, my gosh.
Make him choke on his own water. Cyndaquil's spot was pretty cool, too.
Ooh, yeah, he was the fireplace.
Yeah, it was dumb because it was an abandoned house, and you wouldn't have a fire going in an abandoned house, but it was still cool. You know, it was very good thinking.
I think my favorite would be Togepi found an inexplicable Togepi pattern blanket to hide next to.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
I was like, what is that about? Anyway, so we're hide-and-seek, and it's kind of fun. But then, like, they get people making this short kind of get bored of the hide-and-seek. Because instead, it turns out Meowth and Wobbuffet have taken a job as, like, gardeners, apparently. Maybe this place is, like, closed for the summer or something. Or it's a summer house.
Airbnb.
Oh, maybe. And they've hired Meowth and Wobbuffet. They hired a Pokemon to take care of the grounds, I guess. But they have a super popular Pokemon magazine lawnmower that is able to do all sorts of things. It's alive, for one thing. Mm-hmm. It has emotions.
It does.
Has chainsaws for hands. It can jump. It can swim. It can target Pokemon and try to murder them. It can do everything you can imagine.
It's the Terminator.
I don't even remember what set this lawnmower off. I think someone hit it with a... Oh, Larvitar kicked a pebble at it. Because Larvitar's stewing that people are having fun instead of putting pebbles where they belong. The lawnmower decides that death is the only option, so mm-hmm. it attempts to kill everyone on the scene, and this goes on for like 10 minutes, and eventually the Pokemon trap it in a shed, and that kills lawnmowers. Yes, Alex?
Can I just comment on the fact that this thing is like a lawnmower from hell? It does have emotions, it's semi-sentient, and at certain points, it makes like wild horse noises. Like, it did neighs. You guys catch that?
I missed that.
And it bucks up, too.
Makes that, like, noise, and yeah, like...
It's supposed to be a backfire, I think, you know, like when you start something, it sounds like a gun going off. I think it was supposed to be like, kind of like that, but it came across more of a horse. You're right.
It was like a wild horse or like a bull that was, like, gearing up to charge.
I wonder if younger me thought that this was going to be like a Pokemon. Like, is this our first Transformer Pokemon? Like, maybe halfway through the episode, it was going to lift up, and underneath the blades were eyes. That'd be crazy.
We kind of have a Pokemon like that now.
A lawnmower.
Not a lawnmower, but an engine.
See?
Oh, I was thinking of Rotom in the
mower, lawnmower. Oh, Rotom. Yeah. What is the new one called?
Revaroom?
Revaroom or something. Yeah, it's like an engine.
See, that's cool. I want more Transformer Pokemon. Lift the hood of a car up and it's like a Pokemon in there powering it.
Okay, so they kill the lawnmower. Now it's time to play hide and seek again, only this time Larvitar is it, because Larvitar has learned through the terror of death to appreciate life. The end.
Wait, can we go back just a little bit and talk
Sorry,
about...
Sorry, I'm trying to speed through this.
Yeah, no, I know. I want to make a comment on how brave little Toaster, like when they kill the lawnmower at the end, they like lock it in a shed and it like beats itself up, and it gave me such strong air conditioner from Brave Little Toaster vibes.
You are traumatized.
I am traumatized. But you can't sit there and tell me that it wasn't similar.
No, because I don't think about Brave Little Toaster except for when you're around.
I think about it all the time, you guys.
I know you do.
You need to write a book.
There must be something deeply traumatizing in my brain that's like a core memory. But I legitimately thought, I'm like, okay, because it comes out of the shed at the end and it's like front grill thing is like hanging off and it's like all beat up. And I'm like, this is like when air conditioner like blew itself up. Like, exactly that.
That's it. MVP, LVP, and quote. We have quotes.
There's no quotes.
Okay, there's no quotes.
I don't even know if there's really much.
I have one quote, actually.
Okay.
Can I just say it for all of us?
Yes, this will all be our quote.
Okay, Meowth has one speaking line, I think. Well, he has a couple, but the only notable one was when they're being chased by the lawnmower, he says, "Run for it, it's trying to mow us down."
Okay, that's pretty good. That's funny. That's good. So this is Giovanni's mansion. I guess. And Boba Fett.
Oh, duh. This is experimental technology.
Yeah.
I mean, these lawnmowers could, like, exterminate humanity if they wanted to.
They could, yeah. Especially with the robot lawnmowers coming out now.
What, they have robot lawnmowers now?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I don't know about you guys. I didn't like this lawnmower crap because I was like, I wanted to play hide and seek. What's this lawnmower crap about? Yeah. I don't care about this part.
There's only so much you can do with that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, besides, you need to have some kind of, like, adversity.
True. Mm-hmm. But the adversity was Larvitar. He was being a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he caused the out-of-control lawnmower in the first place, so. Mm.
It's true.
What is it with Larvitars and being, like, contrary?
They have guyliner.
Okay. Sure.
All right. Let's see who's... Austin, you're first, followed by me, and then Alex for the MVP, LVP, and the... We already did a quote, so...
Okay. My LVP will be Donphan and Bulbasaur.
What?
Yeah.
Austin, Donphan?
Donphan and Bulbasaur teamed up together, and it was a random Donphan and Ash's Bulbasaur, who apparently is still around, and they they were the first ones to step up and try to kill the lawnmower, so they get MVP for that.
Oh, I thought you said LVP.
Oh, yeah.
You said LVP.
Did I?
I thought you said MVP. Yes,
and I was like...
M for most.
Okay.
Okay, I was very concerned. I'm like, you're giving LVP to Donphan? No way.
I give MVP or LVP based on character, not based on bias.
Got it.
Uh-huh. My LVP is going to be Alex for thinking that I gave Donphan LVP.
Sorry. We can listen back to the tape and see who's right later.
Okay, great.
Rewind. Show me the receipts, what they say now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I was going to give it to Bulbasaur first, but I'll give my MVP to Kecleon for being great at hide-and-seek. Finally, we found a use for you.
He's the winner.
Yep, this is a way better rendition of you than the episode we just watched. So good for you, Kecleon. You come out on top this time. And I'm going to give my LVP, hear me out on this, okay? I'm going to give my LVP to Boba Fett for having, like, testicular feet. They look like balls to me. It's really weird.
He's always had testicular feet.
I know, but this time this time I really saw
the animation shows it off in a way it hadn't before.
Yeah, it's too shiny. It's too shiny this time. It didn't help that it also was like driving home before I watched this episode and I saw a truck that had the hanging balls from it. You know, that stupid thing that they do. And so I saw that and then I watched this short and I was like, so I had balls on the mind, I guess, and...
Okay.
It's just translated over. They're too shiny, though.
Poor Boba Fett. Poor Boba Fett and his shiny ball feet.
He can't help it. It's just the way he is.
Yeah, he didn't give himself ball feet.
No.
That was God. He does his best. A cruel God.
Is it me?
It's you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm going to give my MVP to Sandshrew, I guess, because it was super cute. And I guess, I don't know, I like Totodile, like, being the water fixture, but I also like Sandshrew hiding up against the wall with his little brick pattern that he has on his back. I don't know, I feel like I'm really appreciating Sandshrew these days.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to give a shout
out. Play Fire Red. You'll really, really respect him.
Why are you giving me that look?
I'm not giving you any look.
Can't somebody just enjoy Sandshrew for once?
I'm just sitting here, you guys.
Giving me a judgmental look. Yeah, I know, Jacob, I caught a Sandshrew in Soul Silver, so I'm playing through that game right now. And I never did, and so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to catch something different. I'm going to try to use something different for once. So that's why I'm thinking of it. My LVP is going to be the Brave Little Toaster for traumatizing me as a child and making me connect this every time I see, like, an inanimate object.
Which Brave Little Toaster? The one where they go to Mars or the one where they're lost in the forest?
She's talking about the first one. She's okay. Always referencing the first one.
The first one is the most traumatic one. The Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars was just like an acid trip. I mean, it was weird, but not as traumatizing as the first one. And it's kind of unrealistic because they go to fucking Mars, so, you know.
Oh, and the baby's on Mars, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the baby was unnecessary.
All right. If you guys were to give this short 1 to 5, or actually 0 to 5 stars, what would you give it?
4.
Yeah, I was about to say 4. I was going to give it a 4.
All right, I guess 4 it is. I'll put that on our Letterboxd that we now have, because Out of the Drying Pan has a new social media platform.
Ooh, what is this?
Do you guys know what Letterboxd is?
I never heard of it.
Can you explain it?
All right, Letterboxd is a social media platform where people give reviews on the movies they watch. So if you go to letterboxd.com/outofdryingpan, you can find our ratings for everything Pokemon related that we've talked about so far. This has been my secret project where I re-listened to old episodes.
Oh my gosh.
Took quotes and sentiments from us and made reviews out of them.
This is the big reveal. Oh my gosh, how exciting.
I kind of just gave star ratings based on my personal feelings, but we can go through these later if you want to change them.
That is awesome.
Oh my gosh, Austin.
That's really cool.
That is super cool.
The Power of One special with Kel Mitchell and Dream Street, I gave 1/2 star.
That's a good one.
You didn't give it 5 stars for the sheer nostalgia of it all.
What are some of the quotes that you used from us? Are there any like really funny, stupid ones?
I started using quotes, but then that proved to be like annoying. It didn't really translate very well. So I started just making up my own shit, to be honest.
Wow, that is really awesome, Austin. Thanks for going through and taking the time to do that. That is such a pleasant surprise to me and Jacob, because we didn't even know what the secret project was. So, wow.
We can go through these later when we have more time.
Letterboxd.
Never heard of it before, but...
Oh, what do you agree with Pokemon Live? I gave it 2 stars, Alex.
I don't agree with that. I agree that it needs 5 stars.
Okay, we're going to go through these later.
All right.
Give your personal rating.
We need to do a critique as a group.
Austin and Jacob give it 2. Alex gives it a 5.
I give it a fucking 5. It's the best media known to mankind.
Oh my God.
That's the pinnacle. Everything humanity ever was led up to that moment.
Yep.
All right. I'm gonna subtract a 1/2 star for me because I hated the lawnmower. And we're going to give this a 3.5. How about that?
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
As long as it's the highest rated short.
Oh, shit. Pichu Brothers is higher than that.
Nope. We can't be.
I gave it 4.5.
Oh, my God.
4.5.
Okay, we're going to go through these at a later time,
okay.
Maybe we can turn that into a bonus episode.
Oh, that'd be an excellent bonus episode.
Oh, that would be a great bonus episode, Alex. Good idea.
Okay, perfect. Good idea, then. We'll do that.
Settle this now. This movie, if you had to give it a star for Pokemon Forever, what would your star rating be? How many stars?
2.
Alex?
God, 2.5, because...
Okay, I'm okay with that.
The Sammy Oak of it all.
I'm leaning more towards like 1.5 and 2.
Dang, that's pretty low.
So settle for 2?
Yeah, we'll do 2.
Is that an average?
Yeah. There was just no... I didn't like the villain. I didn't like the... Sammy's okay.
Yeah, the villain was uninspired.
Yeah. But...
Well, let's summarize it. We each get a 30-second summary that build off each other.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to go through and do a continuation summary.
Yes.
Of it. Who's first?
I guess I can be first since I didn't do anything the last episode.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. We believe in you, Jacob.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so the main focus of this movie is Sammy, who is friends with a Celebi. And there's like a time jump that's like 40 years. But Sammy doesn't age. Then we come across this Pokemon or Team Rocket person called the Masked Marauder. And he's trying to capture Celebi and steal its power. Ash, Misty, and Brock are there, and they help save Celebi from the forest. There's also some other minor characters in there that we won't get into. But basically, Sammy comes to the end of the day to save Celebi, who looks like a dried up daffodil at the end there by drinking from the water from the Force of Life. And Suicune's there to save it also.
Jacob just did the whole thing by himself.
Jacob did just do the whole thing by himself.
Was that pretty good? Was that not bad?
You know what? Fuck it. We don't have time. Yes, that's the one summary we're going to do. That's great.
Oh, I thought we were each given... Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I messed up.
Forget it. Forget us. Like,
I messed up. I totally... I thought we were each going to do a 30-second summary and just see who was better. My bad.
Oh.
I messed up. I totally forgot how we do this. It's been a minute.
Well, I just listened to all these episodes for Letterboxd, so it's fresh in mind.
Oh, okay.
All right, why don't we each give our own summary,
That's
then?
Funny. Let's do that.
Okay.
Real quick.
So that was mine. Alex, go ahead and go. We'll give Alex a second.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, we're pursuing a celery-looking Pokemon. There's a poacher, and before he can capture Celebi transports himself and a little kid 40 years through time. In the future, current day, this other poacher is there, and he interrogates this man, and it's like, where's Celebi? He captures it with an evil dark ball and turns Celebi evil. Then it becomes Princess Mononoke for a second. Ash and Sammy, through the power of their bromance, convince Celebi to stop attacking the forest. And I did horrible. Jacob did way better.
No, you had a lot more details. This is good.
So now I'm going to add extra details. Yeah,
now you got to go deeper.
Extra.
I'm glad I went first because I forgot about the Princess Mononoke bit.
Who wants to time me?
Okay, I'll time you. Leave me 1 second. Let me open up a device that keeps time. Okay, are you ready? In
no.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Sammy is here, and Sammy is Professor Oak, and Ash is like, oh man, Sammy and I are going to hit it off great. Let's go cuddle in this tree, guys. And then Celebi has to take Sammy back in time to, I guess, like the 60s. And Ash is like, no, Sammy, don't leave. And he cries. And then there's an evil lawnmower that appears from nowhere and tries to kill everyone. But it's actually the evil spirit of Celebi. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say the lawnmower's there to mow down the forest. And the guy stopped.
Austin, I think you lost it for a second. And then
I didn't know where I was going with that.
The forest is actually a metaphor for deforestation.
The spider mecha should have been the lawnmower.
That's its next evolution.
Why is the spider mecha from Wild Wild West here today?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
What was made first, this or Wild Wild West?
I think Wild Wild West.
Okay. I remember I tried to get those glasses.
They were directly inspired.
Do you remember the glasses Burger King had for that movie? I kept trying to get them. And
no.
Okay. Keep talking, Austin.
I believe you.
All I remember from that movie was like the metal collars that they got stuck together with. And Selma Hayek was in that movie, so.
How much do they sell for on eBay? $30. You can get them for $30 on eBay.
$30?
Yeah. For this movie, I guess I highlighted some points. I don't know if they're necessarily in order. Is that how we want to go through this? Or
how do we do the other movies? We like broke it up in acts or something.
Do you want to just go chronological?
We can go chronological. Yeah.
I'm gonna take a lead.
Okay.
If anyone wants to interject.
Go ahead. Because I wrote them down in sections. Like I have the main points are like Celebi's time travel, the leap through time. There's Sue Queen. There's Toa and Diana. And then the epic battle at the end.
I love how you got their names. I did not get... Who's Toa?
I looked that up.
The original girl from the forest.
Yeah, and then the...
She's Toa.
Diana, yeah.
And then Diana is her granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Yes.
All right, good to know. All right, so we are in the past. Not that we know that, but it is a foresty CGI forest that travelers come to, including a young man who has bad hair named Sam.
Yeah, bad hair.
Oh my gosh, did you really write bad hair? Because I also wrote a kid with a bad haircut is wandering through the forest.
I think they were supposed to be going for he had like 60s hair.
I guess.
That was trying to age him.
Yeah, exactly. He's supposed to look out of place, I guess. And this lady named Toa comes and gives him some bread. And she says, if you hear the voice of the forest, don't run into it because it's Celebi. It'll take you to the future. And Sam's like, okay, I'll keep that in mind. So, rest assured, he finds Celebi being chased by a Pokemon hunter. And Celebi has been gravely injured somehow and goes forward in time. And Sam's like, take me forward in time too. So they vanish into the ether.
Yeah.
At the Celebi shrine.
Not a strong opening, my opinion.
This movie gets worse as it goes on, I'll be honest.
Yeah, the opening is very weak. Because the guy had a motorcycle too, didn't he? The hunter?
He didn't have a spider mecha. He had a motorcycle.
So to clarify, this is 40 years in the past. So the hunter that originally is after Togepi is a different man. So when you're talking about like the masked marauder, that's in the current time and it's a different hunter. This poacher in the past is the original one who is chasing him.
Eye patch hunter.
Yes, eye patch hunter is the sperm donor for the mass marauder in the future.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, in the modern day, eye patch hunter, you know, he gets all his money from sperm donations.
Ew. He says, if I can't catch Celebi, someone will. Come on.
It was really weird because he's living all alone in a trailer in like the desert, like a compound of some sort. And there's like booze bottles all over the ground. And I was like, oh.
No one believes him about Celebi. It's like it's an alien.
You know what I immediately thought of when I saw this part? Logan.
Oh.
Remember when like Professor X is like living in like the desert on like a compound?
You are such an X-Men mood lately.
I'm in an X-Men mood. There you go.
I thought it was hilarious that Eyepatch Hunter had a framed portrait of the forest Celebi lived in his trailer.
Yeah.
Like, why is that there? He's still a hunter, and he's caught all these Pokemon, and the Iron Mask Marauder of Team Rocket comes to town to say, where is that Celebi? And the guy says, it's definitely in the forest where Celebi always is. And Mass Marauder is like, okay, great, thanks.
Weak villain. Very weak villain.
He didn't have much of a motivation. He has dark balls. And dark balls turn Pokemon into shadow Pokemon.
Yeah, so what's up with the dark balls? I guess they do turn them into shadow Pokemon.
I guess this is one of the first big debuts of shadow Pokemon. Like, they're in the TCG, they're in Colosseum and XD, they're in Pokemon Go, they're here.
When did XD come out?
Way after this.
Like 2004, probably, or something.
Oh, okay.
But I think the idea originated from the TCG.
2005, you guys. Okay, anyway.
Okay. Marauder steals a Tyranitar and it changes its color schema for some reason. And now he's going to go get that goddamn Celebi because he's evil. Meanwhile, the twerps. Oh, you know what I fucking skipped? The world of Pokemon opening?
Yeah, it wasn't the narrator. It was somebody else.
It was Brock.
It was Brock.
And you know who made an appearance during that opening sequence?
The mom and her kid?
No, they don't exist yet.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Porygon.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're right.
I just thought I'd point that out.
Yeah, we also forgot the greatest song ever in Pikachu's Peekaboo, but that's okay, too. We keep going.
Pikachu's coming.
Oh, Lord.
Well, now, in the main feature, it's time for a different song, because it's time for the theme song.
Yay, we love a theme song.
Ash is battling an Australian named Dundee.
Dundee.
Yes.
With a Croconaw.
Yes, Croconaw Dundee. Ash electrocutes him within an inch of his life, and then Timothy comes up to say, Ash, what are you doing? We got to go to the boat. And Ash is like, oh shit, Timothy, you're right. So we jump on a boat and Ash nearly dies, but he's saved by a man. Jacob, who was this man? What was his name?
Oh, this was Lawrence.
Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. No, we already had a Lawrence.
This is Lawrence the Third. Lawrence
the Third. Does he even have a name?
They don't say it. If they did, I missed it.
Can we just give him a name? He had a blimp boat.
Oh, he had a blimp boat?
Mr. Man tells them...
Mr. Sir.
Oh, by the way, his name is Mr. White, apparently.
Excuse me, oh, what?
Mr. White.
Really?
Mr. White.
Walter.
His name is Mr. White?
Walter White is his name.
Walter White gives them some blue meth, and they see a Suicune, or Suicune, on the distance. And they say, ooh, what's that? And Mr. White's like, I don't know, but if you come to my hometown of Arborville, you'll see a lot more where that came from. And the twerps are like, we don't have anything going on. Let's go to Arborville.
We don't.
So we all pile into Mr. White's blimp boat, which is a boat that turns into a blimp because it's the Pokemon world. Sadly, it's not like bicycle pedal powered like that one carrier Pidgey guy's.
We're going to Arborville? That's the name of the place?
Arborville.
Arborville?
Yeah, Arborville.
Good Lord. Could they be any more on the nose with that?
We go to the Ewok villages of Endor. And
you mean Four Tree City because we're in Hoenn now. Apparently.
So we're in the Four Tree City of Endor. That young lady from previously has aged 40 years and she has shrunk about 3 feet. And she says, beware the voice of the forest because I'm traumatized from Sam disappearing 40 years ago. And her identical granddaughter, Diana, is like, don't be silly, grandma. They'll be fine. So the twerps walk into the forest and immediately find Celebi.
They didn't waste any fucking time.
Walked in, boom, Celebi. But they don't actually see Celebi. They just see Sam passed out on the ground. And they carry him back to the Ewok village. Sam is like, get the fuck off me. Where's Celebi? Where's that Celebi go? But they find out he's from the distant past. And his bread hasn't aged a day.
Well, it's only been like an hour for him, right?
It's been 40 years.
Zapped forward.
So obviously, when you're zapped forward 40 years, the first thing you do is say, oh no, I need to find my loved ones and see how the world I've lived in has changed. I've lost my entire sense of self. No, that we don't address that at all.
No.
No, we're just concerned about the Celebi.
We eat the bread.
That's right.
That's made with old ingredients. That's why it lasts forever.
Yes.
It's not GMO'd.
Who gives a shit about Sam? We gotta go find the Celebi. So... we do. It turns out, even though it's been 40 years, there's still a Pokemon hunter after Celebi. Somehow. I don't know why. I don't know why that's happening on the same day.
I know. Has there been any mention of, like, anybody looking for this in the interim? It's just 40 years ago, it happened to be Eyepatch Hunter. And then now, at this very moment in time, there's a new guy who just happens to be looking for Celebi.
So there's been other people looking this entire time for 40 years as well that haven't found
him. Oh, okay.
And also, Celebi's killed a lot of people. We don't address that either. Everybody who touches Celebi...
It'll disappear, yeah.
Yeah, it's transported. Like, how many people has Celebi traumatized or killed by them touching Celebi and then being transported to a random period in time?
I mean, it's a forest spirit. It's like, it can whisk you away at any time.
Yeah, you sit there enjoying your s'mores, camping with your family, and then you disappear 30 years in the past, and you lose everything.
Bam, you're in the dinosaur age.
It could do that. It could fuck around with people however it pleased.
Yeah.
Send you in the future, send you in the past, who knows?
So the Iron Mask Marauder's here. He's part of Team Rocket. Do you guys mind if I, like, really skip through this?
Yeah, he's not a good... You're talking about his backstory, whatever? He's not a good villain. No.
Yeah, Team Rocket proper, Jesse James Meow. End up trying to stop him from stealing Celebi at first, but then they join him. Then they vanish for a good chunk of the movie, because the twerps have a kind of cool sequence where they try to... First they find Celebi, then they take it to the Lake of Life, and all these different forest Pokemon lead them there.
Princess Mononoke. Cool. It was very Princess Mononoke. Very. With the forest spirits.
I've not seen Princess Mononoke in years, so if you guys want to extrapolate on that.
Basically, there's one point where, like, the spirit of the forest, it's more towards, like, this part, it's basically the same thing. Basically, like, the forest, spirit forest, which is Celebi, gets attacked or wounded or injured, and basically...
Corrupted.
That's right. Yeah, corrupted. And these forest spirits, aka the Pokemon, lead it to the Lake of Life, basically, and that replenishes the Pokemon. Or the spirit force. It's literally a shot for shot.
Yeah, one for one analogy of, like, there's a mystical spring that's like a healing spring in the middle of the forest, and the little forest sprites and Princess Mononoke, like, lead them there. And, like, especially when we get to, and I know this is a little bit ahead, but when we get to, like, the Eldritch Horror thing, I mean, that's very much like the spirit of the forest getting all, like, corrupted.
Yeah, so. The giant ball that forms, it's like a shot for shot. It really is.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the giant ball was cool because it kind of looked like a virus.
That's what this looked like in Princess Mononoke. Like, it was very much like an infected evil spirit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That spreads.
So that's why this movie sucks. It's because it's ripping off a much better movie.
It is an extremely rip-off of a much better movie. Even the villain is kind of similar to what was happening in Princess Mononoke without the backstory.
So that part happens a little later, but I do want to touch on the point where... Well, actually, a couple things. One, Sam's Pokeball, because they get into a battle with the hunter.
Okay, Pokeball mechanics us.
And I want to talk about the Pokeball, because it's very much like, I guess the closest thing to compare it to would be like the Hisuian Pokeballs. It looks like an iron ball, and it has like a twist cap, and he like takes it out and like twists the cap, and it like unlocks the thing, and it like comes apart at the middle. It was cool. I don't know, like, if you guys had thoughts on it.
Do you see it capture a Pokemon?
No, it just lets out a Charmeleon.
I imagine back then you'd have to, like, throw it. It kind of, like, gets the Pokemon, and then you had to run and go grab the Pokemon instead of waiting for it to, like...
Screw it.
Yeah, to screw it. Instead of you waiting to see if you caught it or not, like, you had to run and, like, screw it down before it got a chance to pop out. Probably had a higher catch rate.
Yeah, we didn't get to see how it really worked beyond that, but there is a moment where Ash, like, looks at it, and he's like, what the fuck is that? Like...
I mean, Pokeball technology has come a long way in 40 years.
It wasn't even an apricorn ball. It looked like it was made out of iron.
Sam made those special Pokeballs himself, and that's why Ash was like, what the hell is that?
Did he? Is there actual, like, something about that? Like,
no, I have no idea. Himself? I just know Pokeballs we've seen. Like, Pokeballs, the traditional iconography of Pokeballs, hasn't that been around for, like, hundreds of years?
In that universe? I guess maybe. Universe?
Yeah, in that universe, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Pokemon universe.
Maybe it's just regional dependent, like wherever you're from or like your little village you're from. I don't know.
The little village of Pallet Town.
I guess the funniest thing is like the first thought of anybody in the Pokemon world was like, let's capture these things instead of like fight them off. You know, let's make them work with us instead of having, you know, because it's totally different than what humans did.
If you would like to know more about the origins of capturing Pokemon, see Pokemon Legends Arceus on the Switch.
That's like animal husbandry, like 101. That's like, hey, look at this wolf thing. I'm going to take it and make it into a dog and make it work for me.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention was, I guess this is also the origins of the Pokedex, like where he gets the idea, Professor Oak. Because spoiler alert, Sammy is Professor Oak from the past, but...
I'm shocked.
I know, the big revelation. But he has a sketchbook because he's very much like a young Tracy.
Ew.
And he's like, yeah... He sketches all the Pokemon out, and Ash makes a comment where he's like, ooh, this is like a Pokedex. It's like a really detailed Pokedex or whatever. So I'm wondering if that's where the idea came from.
Except Professor Oak didn't create the Pokedex.
Who created the Pokedex?
Professor Westworth III or whatever it was.
Oh, you're talking... Well, this is, I guess...
No, it's one of those... Revisionist, it's like those stupid, like, Tesla versus Edison things, where it's like the same invention, but who got there first?
I
think that's what they were trying to imply there.
Everyone was making Pokedex. It was like a hot time for Pokedex creation.
Yeah, it was like, is it direct current or is it alternative current? Who will lose the Pokedex battle? It's one of those things, I guess.
And my last point before we move on, Austin, is how Sam actually cares about his mom. And he's like... I miss my mom. Like, they're having a genuinely touching moment, and Sam is like, this is the only indication that we get that he, like, is sad about the implications of him being transported to the future, because he's like, I really miss my mom, and I wonder if she, like, ever stopped thinking about me, or if, like, she worried about me all this time, and, like, whatever happened to her.
Well, why is priority number one not, let's go find your mom?
I guess they're having an emergency, but, like... Of course, Ash, in true Ash fashion, because, like, Sam actually is like, what about your mom, Ash? And Ash is like, well, I don't really give a shit about her except for when she cooks for me. So I'm not, I don't miss her.
She didn't pack me sandwiches. I don't care.
Sam, how about you go have sex with my mom? So that'll be good.
Yep. I wish they would have had another plot point. Like, when Sammy comes into the future, we get a call from Ash's mom saying she can't find Professor Oak. Like, they can't exist. They can't exist in the same...
There's been a contradiction in the timeline.
Yeah, there's a contradiction. So when Sammy goes back to the past, she finds Oak, like, in a closet somewhere. Like, and he's like, I don't know what happened. I just had a dream I was my younger self again. Or that would have been a cooler story.
I guess they would exist in the same time. Because, like, if young Sammy is in the future with Ash, then the old Professor Oak is still existing also in that timeline. Because he has the memories of this happening as an older person.
This is so
but
weird.
But does he? Because there's two different versions of this movie.
Oh, but wait, so he wouldn't until he goes back. So, like, when Ash and friends initially called Professor Oak to be like, hey, we're, like,
okay,
here.
Okay, I gotta cut
you
off.
Oh my god, time travel is, like, ridiculous.
There's so much time travel shit to talk about. Because... Okay. Okay, there's two different versions of this movie, you guys.
I didn't know that. Explain that, please.
I didn't either.
Here we go. In the Japanese version, the twerps call Professor Oak, and they're like, what's a Suicune? He's like, this is what a Suicune is. And then Tracy and Muck are there, and Muck attacks Professor Oak, and Tracy's like, oh, sorry guys, bye. But in the English dub, 4Kids commissioned an entirely new scene where they do the same thing, and then it cuts back to Professor Oak. And Professor Oak says, should I have told them about our adventures? Right. No, I shouldn't have done that.
That was a brand new scene?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
4Kids commissioned a replacement sequence.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
They also commissioned a scene where Team Rocket gets some peaches.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's only in the dub for some reason. And then there's also an additional scene at the very end where they call up Professor Oak, and Oak is like, I'm sure Sammy misses you, Ash. And then they're like, wait a minute. How do you know Sammy's name? That's only in the dub.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
So Oak knows this has happened, and he knows the outcome of it. That's really weird.
In the dub, yeah. But in the Japanese version, the 4Kids cut out a scene where Sam goes back in time, goes back to the forest, and the young Toa finds him. And she says, oh, where were you? And he was like, oh, I just had a crazy dream.
Okay. Huh. So he didn't think it was real. Okay. That's crazy.
So Japanese Oak doesn't think this is real. Dub Oak is trapped in a time paradox. And
he's trying to reach Steins Gate.
That's interesting. So did 4Kids do that to clear it up, you know, to make it more obvious of what was happening and, like, explain the whole time travel of it all?
I guess, yeah.
I like that. I kind of like the dub.
The dub made a whole new series of scenes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that he knows it's going to happen, you know, and he's kind of just sitting back. That's really cool.
So does that mean, I guess, back to my original question of, like, as this is happening, because they originally call Oak about Suicune, and then, like you said, Austin, Oak is like, oh, should I have told them that they're going to meet my younger self, like, in an hour or whatever? Like, because he obviously has the past knowledge of this happening. But, like, Sammy, young Sammy, and old Professor Oak exist in the same timeline at the same time for right. at least a little bit. Like, how does that work? That's so weird.
Well, how does that contradict itself? There's nothing saying you can't be in two places at once if you're time traveling.
You just can't meet true. Yourself. Always heard that. Like, you can't see your past self or your future self.
Well, I think Oak didn't say anything to the Twerps because he knew things were going to work out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he knew exactly how it was going to play out.
Yeah, if he told them, it'd be like...
It would change
Time would
things.
Glitch and everything would fall
I hate
to atoms.
I hate time travel. I hate it so much. It's so hard.
It's such a stretch.
It's so hard.
But what's crazy is in the Japanese version, time was changed because Toa found young Sam, and so she wasn't traumatized by his vanishing.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, so yeah. There was no knowledge of that.
Yeah, there wasn't a question of, like, her feeling like she failed because she warned this boy and then he went missing for 40 years. Like... She immediately found him.
So that messes up the current timeline then, because I don't know.
That's probably why the dub got rid of that scene. Yeah. So we didn't have that question.
Maybe. But they could have easily changed it, right? They could have easily changed it to her finding it and not mentioning that he went missing. But no, because that would mess up the whole thing of her being like...
We'd have to find out how much time progressed. Like, when does Sammy go back? Is it like at the exact moment he got transported forward, or is it like...
Yeah, I think it's like he just came right back.
Okay, well then, so like it's reverted back to when, like, so no one knows he's gone, kind of. But like if he's gone the same amount of time he is in the future, then people are like, oh, he's been missing for days or something, you know?
So I think what you were saying about Professor Oak vanishing in the present day kind of makes more sense in that scenario.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like Celebi's actions changed the timeline. And by returning Sam to his original time point, the timeline was restored.
Yeah.
So essentially, Professor Oak should have ceased to exist.
In this current
future style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't had a chance to age to his self now.
Right. So he shouldn't have these memories because it never happened to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Until it did in the past.
Exactly.
Oh, time travel.
Yeah, that's the reason why I was confused a little bit. Because he's would be unaware of it because it hasn't happened yet. But now it's happened, but he's old enough to realize that it did happen. You know, it's weird.
So in the dub, there's a stable time loop, like Terminator.
Yes.
And in the Japanese version, this should not have happened. This is an aberration that had to be corrected.
Yes.
This movie was an abomination that should not have happened.
Basically, that's what we're going to. Half a star. Have to go down to half a star.
You don't question time travel. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, it's really hard when you... Like I said, with the two different versions, they create two different time travel scenarios, which is really hard to, like, it really messes up this time travel story.
We have different memories. It's Berenstain Bears.
It messes up everything. God. Like, everything in the future now is with Pokemon's messed up.
So that's all very interesting, but it's not the main plot, because the main plot is boring.
That whole discussion we had there, 10 times more interesting.
Not part of the movie.
In the movie, yeah. Yep. 10 times more interesting.
Not in the movie. The movie has Misty twist her knee. Which I didn't realize you could twist your knee.
You can twist your knee. Yeah.
You can dislocate your kneecap. Yeah.
You can twist your knee.
I didn't know they called it twisted. I thought it was just like sprained.
It's like twisting an ankle, but your knee turns instead of your ankle.
Mm. Well, Misty twists her knee, which I feel like is the kind of thing that should happen all the time, actually. But it's a movie, so now stakes are higher, I guess, so she can twist her knee. But that's okay, because Celebi has healing powers. And after they get Celebi in the Lake of Life, it's able to heal Misty. So we go, we're having fun times. Ash and Sammy see a bunch of Butterfree hatch in the tree, and they put their arms around each other in a very platonic way.
So platonic.
Mm-hmm.
Most platonic thing I've ever seen.
The next day, the Iron Mask Marauder attacks again with Jesse, James, and Meowth assisting. But this time, he gets Celebi in the Dark Ball, and it becomes the Princess Mononoke monster, apparently.
Yeah.
Very Eldritch horror. Bad CGI. Terrible CGI.
Horrible CGI.
Very out of place.
Suicune senses all this is happening and comes to help, because I guess Suicune had to negotiate to make a movie appearance.
I don't get this part. It was so out of place. It was so weird.
They kind of tie it in at the end, but it's pretty inexplicable.
Yeah. So what is Suicune? What is that? Is that mythical? Legendary?
It's a legendary.
Okay. I just don't get why. Like, who is more powerful?
Celebi's a mythical. Which is above a legendary.
From this movie, it seemed like Suicune's the more powerful one.
Celebi seemed very...
weak.
Useless.
Yeah.
It only went once it went Dark Ball that it could summon power to get a bunch of twigs to form around it.
Yeah, Suicune's definitely the more useful Pokemon.
Iron Mask Marauder is going to kill Giovanni and take over Team Rocket in the world.
Good God.
He kidnaps Jesse. The forest Endor people come to help Toa and Mr. White and Diana. But I don't even know what they do. How do they even save Celebi? Do they just, like, climb into it and grab it?
Basically. So Sammy and Ash are the only ones who get shit done. Well, Brock does a little bit. Brock is trying to hold off Tyranitar with Onyx. Poor Onyx.
Onyx's biggest moment ever, basically.
Yeah, basically. He launches Tyranitar, though. Pretty good showing for Onyx.
Did we notice how Tyranitar was knocked out, and then Onyx said, fuck you, Tyranitar, and knocked it into the water?
Yeah, that drowned was him. That was baller. Ash and Sammy are very similar in that, I guess, what would you call this? Like, very physically, like, they have to show their, like, resolve in a physical way. Like, they have to climb into the stick nest and, like, grab onto Celebi and, like, plead with it to stop. And, like, don't you remember that one time that we sat in the tree and, like, saw the Butterfree just, like, 3 hours ago? Like, to get it to snap out of its funk.
That part went on way too long. The flashbacks to, like, 20 minutes earlier in the movie.
I skipped it.
It was, like, padding, 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 padding. I did not get
it. It was 3 minutes worth. And I literally was, like, I just skipped through it. Because, like, this is enough. I get where this is going.
They're like, Celebi, isn't our love, our bromance enough to, like, move you back to normal?
They gotta make out with it.
Celebi looks like it should be in a salad. They should be, like, cut it up and, like...
It's like a bean sprout.
It's like a artichoke that's been dried out.
Well, it does then shrivel up like an old prune.
Okay, I did like the Celebi death sequence.
It truly died.
Was it emotionally affecting? I don't know, but it was dramatic, and I like that. Especially Ash trying to feed Celebi.
Yeah.
He's trying to feed Celebi's favorite berries to the corpse, the wilted corpse of Celebi.
Like, that part did actually, like... get me.
He starts to cry and the berries fall into the lake and float around. And
very good delivery, too. Like, he's like, it was very good voice acting.
Veronica Taylor did a great job.
It's probably one of the best deliveries of the series when he's like crying it, but he's kind of like fighting the fact that he knows it's dead, but he's not.
He doesn't want to believe that the reality of...
Maybe Celebi's just not hungry. I was like, oh my God.
No one's never died in Pokemon before. This is the first time Ash has seen... Well, Ash aside... This is the first time Ash has seen death in the show.
That's why he doesn't believe it, because every time Ash dies, he comes back to life. So
he comes right back.
So he knows it's not real.
The other thing is, like, how they were pretty blatant with it. Like, there's a few points, like, Sam starts screaming about how human beings are the absolute fucking worst. And he's like, it's our fault that it's going to die. Like, he says that. He screams it.
Sam, it's already dead. Like, it's dead. Yeah.
But I was kind of shocked that they, like, drove that point home the way they did, because he literally was like, it's dead, it's dying, it's gone. Like, I was like,
but
oh
then
my
it gets
God,
ruined. And then it gets completely ruined
gets
with
completely
the next scene.
Ruined.
With the swarm of Celebis that come back to revive it. They should have done something totally different than what they did, because this ruins everything.
So what actually happens is, like, 1,000 Celebi appear through time, and they're like, don't worry, our Celebi brother, and we're going to revive you back to life, which they had the power to do.
I was so confused, because is this the same Celebi, but just different in different time sequences? Because remember, two beings can exist according to the Pokemon dub. So I was like, is this the same Celebi, just different times, and there's only one Celebi? Or is this like, are there a million Celebis that recognize when one's in danger and come to save it? I was confused by that. Does that make sense?
I don't know. Is it the same? Yeah, the same entity across different time periods, or is it separate beings?
Yeah, because remember, two beings can exist.
I wrote something down. Sam says that these are Celebi's friends.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Grandma Toa says that it's the spirits of the future and past. So she seems to think it's all one Celebi, and Sam seems to think these are just a bunch of Celebi.
I'm going with the grandma. I'm going with the grandma one.
Okay.
Because she's more wise.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with it's different Celebis, because I don't like that Celebi can bring itself back to life whenever it feels like.
But if it's, I don't know, Austin, like, I'm kind of with Jacob on this, because I feel like if its whole shtick is, like, timelines and time travel and alternate realities and stuff like that, it makes a little bit more sense for it to be the same entity, but from different time branches of time. And it knows it's dead, so it brings itself back in that timeline. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that makes more sense to me, but...
But regardless, we don't like this because it ruins the thematics
of
killing nature and, like, recklessness and selfishness, right?
It ruins the whole... Well, I know it's a kid's show that obviously bad can't win and like, oh, we need to have a happy ending. But like, sometimes life is harsh and things are permanent and people, like if you ruin it, there's consequences to your actions.
What you do is you kill it, you let it die, they bury it, and it becomes a tree that grows like a bud on it. And then that bud becomes like another Celebi. Like at the very end, you see it like hatch and then a little baby Celebi's in it.
I kind of wanted the Celebis that came to like, usher Celebi to like a Celebi afterlife of some sort.
Oh, that'd have been good too.
Like it's
like they take it into the time stream, never to be seen again or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take Sam with them to correct the time paradox, I guess.
That would have been a good compromise. Like it's still permanence of death, but like mm-hmm.
But Celebi's are nature will still continue to thrive and correct itself.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad. But it's a kid's show and they can't go that way, so
mm-hmm. Doesn't Princess Mononoke end kind of? It ends very obscure in a way. Like, it doesn't answer the questions.
Honestly, don't remember how it ends.
I think it ends with the four spirit, like, being reawakened, but it's a ghost now because it got killed. And so the humans now...
I think
now,
it's different.
The humans, it's more harsh consequences. Of course, it's also more of an adult movie.
It's also not for five-year-olds.
Yeah, it's definitely more thematic.
Yeah.
It just ruined it. Like, the whole thing gets ruined.
We did not care for this movie very much, even though it had some good bits.
Yeah. Suquine saves the day again at the end.
Why is Suquine here? Oh, yeah. Suquine's goal, I thought it was so funny, that everything is like polluted and ruined and there's chaos and carnage everywhere. And all the forest Pokemon show up to mourn the death of Celebi. And then is it Toa who looks to Suquine? Suicune.
I don't know how to say it. How do you say this?
Now I don't even know which one's right. And I have to think about it every single time. Toa looks at Suicune and says... Suicune, you have the power to, like, purify the water. And Suicune, god damn it.
Sorry, that's my fault. I can't speak Pokemon.
I was saying it sarcastically at first, now it's earnest. Suicune is like, that's right, I do have the power.
And it pees in the water and purifies it.
Yeah, he, like, jumps around on the water.
Lifts its leg and
I love how he had to be reminded to do that. He's like, oh yeah.
I think it's funny because it's kind of like, Suicune's like a dumb animal that gets to tell it what to do. And it forgot its own power.
It was gonna it actually knew. It was just gonna let Celebi die to be top dog. It's like now I'm king of the forest.
It didn't anticipate all those Celebis coming through time, did it?
It looked at that and it's like, crap, I'm outnumbered.
Oh, that makes you like Suicune a lot better if it's like it's just kind of kill Celebi the whole time.
That's what it's doing. I see this thing for 100 years. I'm ready for it to go away because it's no one ever talks about me when they mention the forest.
I live here too.
Yeah,
this is my forest.
Yeah.
Lake of Life, that was my lake.
Mm-hmm. Apparently it is Suicune's lake, because it can purify it, and Celebi can't. So, I don't know. It's weird.
To be fair, Celebi was, like, dead, so...
You have to water the plant, so they have a symbiotic relationship.
Oh, that's right. It's like a raven and a wolf. Yes, Alex.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about this just for a second. Like, the fact that we've had an Entei... Like, Entei had its whole movie. Suicune... I had to be deliberately when I say that, because I almost said Suicune.
God damn you, Jacob.
Sorry. I think I'm saying it wrong. I don't know.
Suicune doesn't get, like, a movie itself, right?
It gets this.
It gets... Okay, so it gets, like, a pretty substantial cameo.
It gets more anime time, though.
Yeah, and it appears in, like, the actual episodes. But Raikou has, like, fucking nothing.
Nope.
Like, what? Nothing. What's up with that, you guys?
It looks weird, I guess. That makes me angry. I don't know.
They had to bend over backwards to get Suicune in this movie, and they were like, fuck Raikou, we're not going to do that again.
Is there any, like, movie coming up with, like a storm? Like, anything Hoopa? Where it could have featured Hoopa?
It appears in the Zoroark movie, that's it.
I don't know. I just feel like it got really, like, the short end of the stick.
Well, we've talked about Suicune more than the movie itself has.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's in Crystal. It's like the whole theme of a whole video game, mm-hmm. So it deserved more.
All right, Sam's here. Sam's gone. Celebi's here. Celebi's dead. Celebi's alive. Celebi's gone. The Iron Mask Marauder gets killed by the bug Pokemon.
Yeah, pretty much.
Team Rocket is happy. And the Twerps have a dub-only scene where they talk to Professor Oak on a cell phone or on a payphone.
Yeah.
And now the movie's over, basically. And we have the most horrible song I've ever heard in my entire life.
Nope. It's awful.
What were they even saying?
Cella, B-R-A-T-E.
What?
Cella, B-R-A-T-E.
R-A-T-E?
Celebrate.
Oh, celebrate.
Oh.
Celebrate. Oh.
Stupid.
I was like, Celebi-rate? Like, what? What?
Yeah, this movie sucked all around.
Wait, okay. Say it again, Austin.
Celebrate.
Celebrate. Oh, my God. Okay, when it's not obvious or automatically obvious, it's a bad song.
This is the lowest stakes movie, too. Because, like, remember the other ones, the world's about to be destroyed? And this one, it's like a tree fall. It's going to fall down. That's all of the bad.
I mean, the emotional stakes are someone has been plucked out of time, but we don't explore that at all.
No.
That doesn't come up.
In the first one, world's going to be destroyed if we don't stop the villain. Second one, it's kind of the same thing. Villain's taking over the world. It's got some kind of, like, special stuff. The Mewtwo Strikes Back one, world's going to be destroyed. This one, forced. Very, very small.
I mean, if you want to talk about it, it's a more personal story because, you know, Ash experiences loss and death for the first time, and he loses his love, which...
Good friend.
His
also his mom's friend. Boyfriend, or at least fuck buddy.
Yeah.
And they never find out. They never find out he was Professor Oak.
That's a secret Professor Oak will take to his grave. It's more of a personal stakes,
Jacob. Ash is going to forget this ever happened tomorrow, so it doesn't matter.
That's true.
It'd be great if Sammy was older, like, of age, and then, like, that's how he slept with Delia to get Ash, and, like, Ash is actually Oak's, like, past self son.
Ew. So he was in love with his own son? Yeah. That's disgusting.
Yeah, there's a homoeroticism to Ash and Sam that I don't like because
it's the father-son dynamic. You're just kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
Gross.
That's the movie.
That's a great note to end on. Okay, great. MVP, LVP in quote.
Wow, we just made it super weird. Okay.
My bad again.
The movie made it super weird. We didn't do it.
I ruined Sue Queen and I ruined...
Professor Oak.
The family of Professor Oak's tree, family tree. I don't even have a quote for this.
You have one of mine.
Alex, you're first, followed by me, and then Austin. And we'll do this really quick because I got to head out.
My one quote is when Jesse says... They come across Iron Mask Marauder for the first time, realize he's a Team Rocket guy, and she's like, look at that mask. I've seen him before. And Meow says, wasn't he in that Mexican wrestling movie? Because his mask really is fugly. My MVP is the Pokeball, the iron Pokeball, because it was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Sam's. Okay, got it.
Sam's old Pokeball, because I love a good Pokeball mechanic moment. My LVP is going to be, I guess... Iron Mask Marauder, because he was a big dick, so...
Yeah.
I thought he had a decent design, though.
No, I thought he was ugly. His costume was weird. Was ugly.
It was weird.
Okay, never mind.
It should have been, like, Leonardo DiCaprio in the Iron Mask, like that movie.
Sorry, Austin, your opinion's overruled. It was a bad costume.
That's fair, I'm used to it.
I'm gonna give my least viable player to the original Hunter, who I guess doesn't know Celebi's power, and spent the next 40 years of his life wasting his time hunting a Pokemon that wasn't there. That would suck, right? But I guess Celebi does come back, so maybe he's different in the future. I don't know. We're not getting into it. It's weird timeline mechanics. I'll give my MVP to... I'm going to go broad brush here. I'm going to give it to all the Pokemon in the forest. There was really emotional support when they were sitting there mourning over the Celebi's death and helping Ash and them find the lake or river or whatever's there. I thought that was pretty cool. It was very Princess Mononoke copy, but...
Oh, did that same thing happen?
Yeah, it's the exact same thing happened.
All the forest Pokemon came
in
Princess Mononoke?
Yes, four spirits in Princess Mononoke, but it's very, okay. Like I said, it's shot for shot pretty close to the actual thing, but...
Boo this movie.
Yeah. Is this my quote here, Austin, that you've done?
That's your quote.
Okay. My quote is from Team Rocket, of course, and Jesse says, those twerps won't get away from us now. They're right beneath us. And James says, of course they're beneath us. They're twerps.
Oh, James.
All right. My MVP will be Onyx.
Oh, very good.
I know. He didn't do a great job fighting that Tyranitar because he was outclassed, but he showed a personality of saying, fuck you, Tyranitar, and I appreciated that.
He won. He's a winner.
He did win in the end.
Pull one out for Onyx.
And my LVP will be the timeline for not making any sense.
There you go.
My quote will be from the terrible ending song. Oh, and God. It's two guys. One guy says, yo, man, we forgot to vamp out. And the second guy says, this ain't the end of the song. And the other one says, no. So the second guy says, aw, man. So what? Even the people singing the song hate the song.
Okay.
What okay, that was confusing.
Out? No, I get what he's saying. I get what you're saying. Out? I get what you're saying.
Okay. I'm going to change my quote because that didn't go over well.
Wait, can you explain, like, the hip lingo? Like, what is vamping out mean?
Like, you're leaving.
Yeah.
What?
Like a vampire leaves?
Sure.
You have to be 90s cool to get it, Alex. It's okay.
I know. I wasn't ever 90s cool.
You're never 90s cool.
No, I wasn't, and I own that.
Okay, my actual quote will be after Team Rocket gets hurt, Sam says, "Do you think they'll be okay?" And Misty says, "Unfortunately, yes."
Good, good, good.
Yep.
All right.
Oh my God, can I change real quick? Can I just change my MVP? Because you said Misty, and that reminded me. I wanted to originally give it to Misty because she was the only one that recognized that Professor Oak never said Sammy. And she's like, wait, how did he know the Sammy? We never said the name. So, yeah.
So who was your first MVP?
The Pokeball.
Okay.
Now it's Misty.
But now it's Misty.
Well, that's Pokemon Forever. That hopefully we didn't spend forever on it because it wasn't that good.
I will say this. They will be worse Pokemon movies in the future. Oh, yeah.
Guarantee it.
This is the worst one so far. They will top it in regards to terribleness.
Good.
Volcanion, I'm looking at you.
Sorry, Jacob. You're like 8 minutes overdue.
It's okay. What have we got on the menu next week so I can close this out?
Our next two episodes, we're going back to Filler Town. It's The Joy of Water Pokemon and Got Miltank.
All right. Well, if you've made it this far, we'd like to say thank you all for listening. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to outofthedrawingpan@gmail.com. Again, that's outofthedrawingpan@gmail.com. Also, I forgot to say, please leave us 5 stars. We would greatly appreciate it. We also have an Instagram. It's outofthedrawingpan. It's run by Alex. You can find a lot of AI-generated art there. I'm just kidding. Alex posts a lot of stuff.
Everything is ChatGPT.
That's right. yep, and what do we got? We got an X account, formerly known as Twitter. It's out of drawing pan. There's no the in it. Okay, so it's out of drawing pan. And I guess this is the first time I'm ever going to plug this. We got a Letterbox account.
Yeah, this will be the first and only time we plug it.
Okay, first and only time we plug it. And then that's apparently where you leave ratings so you can see how we feel about things. And if you disagree, let us know by sending us a comment to some platform we got. And I think our final plug here is a Patreon, which you can find through the link in the description of the podcast. If you feel so inclined to support us, we would greatly appreciate it. And finally, join us next time as this journey continues.